Our present conference is on one of the most controverted subjects in the Catholic Church, namely, tradition. The word tradition has been maligned, misunderstood, misinterpreted, opposed, mainly, I think, because people don't realize that without tradition, we would not have divine revelation. What I would like to do is, first of all, very briefly, explain what tradition in general means. It comes from the Latin verb tradere, to hand on, to pass on. In that sense, tradition applies to whatever one person or one generation passes on to another. For our purpose, there are three principal meanings to the word tradition. And I will try to divide my time in such a way that we will give enough time to each of these three forms of tradition. There is, first of all, tradition as the communication of God's revelation to the human race. Let's face it. From the dawn of human history, when our first parents received divine revelation, unless they had passed it on to their offspring, and their offspring in turn had passed it on to those who follow them, well, what had first been revealed would have been lost. Always, in the context in which we are speaking, understand tradition as passing on something sacred. Here, God's revelation. In this sense, tradition includes everything which God has revealed from the dawn of human history, watch this, to the end of the apostolic age. I repeat, in the broadest sense, tradition spans everything which God has revealed and made sure would be passed on through succeeding generations until the death of the last apostle, St. John, approximately the year 100 A.D. Question, as a footnote, haven't there been authentic revelations from God since the end of the first century? A John of the Cross, a Teresa of Avila? Yes. However, we Catholics consider revelation with a capital R, or more accurately, divine revelation, or still more technically, public revelation, as referring only to what God had revealed and intended for the whole world. Its intent, therefore, was universal, and what God meant to be necessary, all subsequent revelations, plural, lowercase. We call, for want of a better word, private. Even though by now, for example, Fatima, the revelations of Our Lady to the three children at Fatima, though meant by now for so many people, are technically nevertheless private revelations. Back to our subject. Tradition in this first and broadest sense means the handing on of God's revelation by whatever means what God had revealed to certain chosen people was passed on to succeeding generations. Now we pause before we go into our second level of understanding what tradition means in the Catholic vocabulary. In writing on the subject, I make sure that tradition in the first sense is lowercase and singular number, tradition. But now this tradition, which is the handing on of God's revelation, we as Catholics believe has taken on two forms. I want to be very clear, because our separated brethren among the Protestants, as we all know, do not accept one of these two forms of divine revelation. We Catholics believe that some of the truth that God has revealed over the centuries was so communicated by God that He made sure through His Holy Spirit that writers would be divinely inspired to put down, in written form, what God wanted to be passed on. We call that sacred scripture. We now therefore are looking at the second level of our understanding of tradition. And here I have found it useful, especially when I write, to use two words and capitalize each, sacred tradition. On the second level, therefore, of what had been, remember, tradition, which is divine revelation, it comes in two forms. One form, which we call sacred scripture. This sacred scripture is found in inspired writing. What do we mean? We mean that certain persons were divinely enlightened and assisted to write only what God wanted them to write, as He wanted them to write it, so that the authority of God stands behind the written word. Another word for sacred scripture is the Bible. But now, sacred tradition. Sacred tradition, therefore, is also inspired But unlike sacred scripture, it was given to people by God, not to produce inspired writing, that's the Bible, but to produce inspired people, and then those people, by their lives, by their conduct, by whatever they said or did not say, under divine guidance, their lives and actions were remembered, and the memory was passed on, and we Catholics call that sacred tradition, where, as with sacred scripture, we capitalize sacred and scripture, so sacred tradition. Once more then, what is sacred tradition? Sacred tradition is all the revealed wisdom that God wants the whole human race to know and put into practice, not from having read it in a sacred book, that's the Bible, but in being inspired by what those inspired people had passed on to succeeding generations as both deserving of knowledge and especially as deserving of imitation. Let me take another angle of this very critical subject of sacred tradition. Who were the two holiest persons that ever walked our earth? They were Jesus and Mary. Neither Jesus nor Mary left us anything in writing. Could we possibly say that the only thing we know about Christ and his mother is what we read about in the New Testament? Absolutely no. Remember what John the Evangelist says? That if anyone were to put into writing all that Jesus said and did, I doubt, he says, if all the books in the world could contain what Christ had revealed. What we therefore have in sacred scripture, and I'm concentrating on the New Testament, which is far shorter than the Old Testament, what we have in the New Testament is only, what shall I say, the quintessence, just the nectar, just a choice sampling of all that Christ had revealed to the human race, himself and through those like his mother his apostles, and the faithful Christians of the first century. Why is it important for us Catholics to understand what sacred tradition means? Well, first of all, to realize that because we have, thank God, the infallible Church of God, to whom Christ committed the totality of divine revelation, sacred scripture, and sacred tradition. As Catholics, we're not surprised, or less still, shocked or scandalized. Now, the Church teaches us things which it doesn't bother us at all, is not found always in the Bible. I had this brought home to me dramatically when in 1950 I worked in Rome with a Vatican radio. I can't believe it. 35 years ago. The announcement of the forthcoming definition of the bodily assumption of Mary into heaven, months before the actual definition by Pope Pius XII, stirred up a violent opposition in the non-Catholic, especially non-Catholic, Protestant world. The Pope is setting back Christian unity by centuries. How dare he claim that Mary was assumed, body and soul, into heaven, where there's not, we don't say one sentence, there's not one word about that in the Bible. So I was given the happy privilege of defending the validity of Our Lady's bodily assumption in a series of 9-week broadcasts over the Vatican radio prior to November the 1st, 1950, when the definition, as you know, was formally made. Well, since I spoke over a period of 9 weeks, I could spend a good part of the semester in defending what we Catholics believe is divinely revealed, but not in sacred scripture. What are we saying? Very simple. We are affirming that what God has revealed is found not only in the Bible, but is also found in sacred tradition. Who alone has a right to decide what belongs to divine revelation? How happy I am to say this. Nobody, but nobody, except the Roman Catholic Church. And you might say this stands to reason. What good would it be for God to have made a revelation and there is no authoritative way in which we can find out what God revealed? So there's no problem for a believing Catholic. If the Church says that Mary's bodily assumption was divinely revealed, well, it was divinely revealed. From how far back do we know? Very far back. But it doesn't really matter. We don't have to establish in historical sequence, watch this, that the truths which we believe are revealed have been held by the universal Church as revealed from the very beginning. The authority which Christ gave his Church includes the authority to decide what is revealed. As a matter of fact, it was the Church which first had to decide what belongs to the Bible. It's the same Church, therefore, that passes judgment on a revealed truth which is not found, admittedly, but without apology, in the Bible. On the final and third level, we distinguish tradition that we looked at the beginning from sacred tradition to what I finally call lowercase and always plural traditions. What are traditions? Traditions are the changeable customs and practices of the Roman Catholic Church. Is it ever important to know what these changeable customs and practices are? For example, abstinence from meat on Fridays. Incidentally, are Fridays obligatory days of penance? Yes. And what you may not have heard, I didn't plan it this way. We are as obliged to practice penance on Friday as we are to assist at Mass on Sunday. And I know I am being recorded. And even though the Vicar of Christ has given the faithful the option of what kind of penance they practice on Friday, he did not give any of us the option of not practicing penance. How happy I am to say that, because you see, the practice of penance is divinely revealed. And the Church has a right to specify when and how we are to practice penance. On Fridays, penance, in commemoration of Christ's Passion. On Sunday, Holy Mass, in commemoration of Christ's Resurrection. Traditions, therefore, span lowercase, plural, all those aspects of the Catholic religion which are, what am I saying, legitimately changeable. How do we know that certain customs or practices are legitimately changeable? Oh, that's easy. If the Church changes them. our faith in the church as Catholics is both in her unchangeable continuity and in her adaptable applying herself and changing to different times and persons and places. Changeable adaptability and unchangeable continuity are the two features of the Catholic Church, which I submit our understanding, on the one hand, of the unchangeable tradition as divine revelation passed on, of sacred tradition as the unchangeable Word of God, along with the Bible, inerrant, infallible, absolutely immutable. That's the Church on her side of continuity. If she had not possessed that unchangeable continuity, we would not now today even have a 1985. The date would be meaningless, and we sure wouldn't have a Catholic Church. But correspondingly, this Church does adapt herself, and the changeable adaptability is what we have identified as the third kind of tradition, which we said, at least I do it, lowercase and plural. The secret of being a good Catholic is to know what is unchangeable and to die rather than change. And at the same time, to be adaptable and under divine guidance, which we believe the Holy Spirit is giving His Church, to adapt as Christ wants us to adapt. Once more, I hope this conference was not too learned, or better, too erudite. Thank you for listening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.